You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3. It's Mailin' In Friday, brought to you by 1 in 100.
Five sick days and two floater days for me coming up.
I got it. Can we get on with it?
Hey, dude, what did I tell you? From July
2nd. Every day is a floater day for you.
Yeah, exactly.
Who gives a f***? This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Final hour for the week. Mail It In Friday, brought to you by our friends at 1in100.net. For a 1in100 chance of winning killer seats to any Toronto game, go to 1in100.net. Your first entry is free. Brian Hayes, soon to be the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill. He's off doing World Junior prep. Yes. I guess he's doing something for SportsCenter tonight. I don't know what it would be, but we'll see what he's got in store when he comes back. And, of course, Jamie Noodles McLennan.
Yes.
With this weather, it's raining in Toronto.
I'll take it. Car's a little dirty, but...
I got to be honest. Today, I think, is the worst possible weather. Because it was like 3 degrees, but raining. So yeah. It's cold, but not cold enough that it's snowing. So you have to deal with the rain, and then it's muddy, and then if it does cool down, it's all icy.
It's going to be icy garbage later. Yeah, but I'd rather have the rain than the snow because it just paralyzes this city.
Oh, I'd take snow every day of the week. Simply from a festive perspective.
Okay.
As of December 26th, mm-hmm. I'm done with winter. I hate it. I hate the cold. I hate the snow. But leading up to the 25th, I'm
you're fine.
A proponent of snow. And like I said, we were at this Christmas cabin today.
Yes.
Went to see Santa and Mrs. Claus, and Buddy the Elf was in there. And it was raining outside, so it was kind of took away from the atmosphere a little bit. That's why I think I'm dressed appropriately for the show. This is kind of what I would wear anyway, but if you saw my wife and my kid, we all wore basically the same colors.
You should have had like a scarf or something.
Yeah.
A Burberry scarf would have gone well with that outfit.
I was the only adult who sat on Santa's lap.
Which is really awkward and probably like...
I shouldn't like have done borderline, that in retrospect.
Yeah, like borderline shady. Like from Santa's perspective, not yours.
I don't know what that Santa was up to because...
But it is weird.
He wasn't calling over any other parents.
Was he an Overdrive fan? Did he whisper in your ear like, hey,
honestly, I was waiting for it. I thought he was going to be like, hey, say hi to O-Dog and Noodles for me. Yeah. Mail it in Friday. I'll be listening at 4 up in the North Pole.
I did have that on the Santa train last year.
Is that right?
Santa walked by, leaned in, was like, big fan of the show. I'm like, thanks, buddy.
Wow, no way. Yeah. Up in the North Pole, they stream online.
Yeah, pretty much.
They must have the TSN app up there.
Pretty much. It was on a train in Uxbridge.
Well... That's actually exactly where we were. So Steph was wondering. Maybe we weren't in that same spot, but...
This was like a train, brought in a magician, which was weird, but it was cool.
Well, you know what the thing is? Like, I had to stop my wife because there was an elf, right?
Yeah.
And this guy, he was a committed elf, but, you know, he was... You know, work to rule when you're in, like, a union or whatever, and it's like, I'm just doing the bare minimum. Yeah. And I'm here, but don't ask me to do anything stupid. And my wife wanted to ask him, like, what his elf name was. And I'm like, don't bother this guy. He's an elf. He's not in
the
mood.
Don't want to rattle his cage.
Okay? Anyway.
But you didn't want... But also, you want your daughter to experience...
Absolutely. Well, we're there for her, right? It's not for us.
And, yeah.
But there's a certain line that I don't think you want to cross.
No.
Don't bother the elf. The elf is there. If the elf comes over and says something,
gives you attitude, then you're in trouble.
Well, it wasn't given attitude. He was a cordial elf.
Yeah,
but
you got a vibe that he was there just to
kind of help out, do his thing, be elf-like.
It was Friday. He's mailing it in too.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody is. Leafs are in Florida tomorrow night. We're going to get to future headlines in a moment. We had Brian McCabe on in the first hour.
Yes,
Caber. Not exactly happy with what's been going on with that team.
You know, that's an organization I think was going to take a big step this year. But when you look at it, you've got Roberto Luongo, who is a Hall of Famer, who is an elite goaltender, but he's 39. And the body is starting to give out. James Reimer, 2 more years at 3.8. He's a 2. But, like, you look at, and I look throughout the league, still a goaltender's league.
Well, last night is a perfect example.
Exactly.
Like, that display.
Louis Domingue plays last night was a score.
Exactly.
5-4, 5-6-4.
Easily.
Seven.
It would have been the game we were hoping it was going to be.
Right.
It would have been 5-4 back and forth, lead changes all over the place.
Right.
But Andrei Vasilevskiy made 48 stops, and a couple of them were Hasek-like.
Yeah,
now, what he made on Marlowe in the third was, like, crazy because he was tracking
picked it out of the air.
Yeah,
other skate, like he got so lucky because even
you think
if
that
you
was,
scoop,
I mean, there's an element of luck, but you got to give the guy some credit. I think he kind of knew what he wanted.
You
to
know
do.
Where the puck is, but any type of execution of that, if he tries to execute that five more times, three times he kicks it in the net.
Right,
like he actually scooped it out with the right pad, even though he was leaning on the left side, like his flexibility. At 24 years old, that's how Jonathan Quick was. Jonathan Quick is 32 now and played a very violent game as far as flexibility. Now what happens, you get a groin, you get a hip flexor, that type of stuff. The body has a lot of miles on it. Vasilevskiy can play that style of game because he's young and he's strong and he's flexible and he works really hard. All I hear from the people I talk to about Vasilevskiy is this guy's been a consummate pro since he was like 20, even before that, like dialed in. Usually young players, it takes, especially a goaltender, takes a little bit longer to get things mentally, to understand the position. Like this guy, Rick Bonus told me, who was the assistant coach there for a while, he said, like, I've never seen anything like it. He goes, this guy's 20. Like they, even when he arrived, they had Ben Bishop, who was an elite goaltender at the time. They were like, this is our guy.
Yeah, they knew
like,
exactly.
They knew
what
right
they
away, like, this is the guy.
Yeah, it's kind of a Price Halak type of scenario where it doesn't matter what
Which
Bishop
is still
does.
Insane. Do you remember that, like, Halak and, like, was it 2010?
There was talk of keeping him.
Well, like, because of the run that he was
and
on.
He was brilliant.
He was making 50 stops a game.
Yeah, like, against St. Louis, wasn't it? Or, I can't remember who it was.
He got traded to St. Louis, but he was with the Habs.
No, I know. When he was with the Habs.
He
but
beat
I,
Washington in the first
that's
round.
That's what it was.
And it was
sorry,
one
Washington.
Versus eight, I think, maybe two versus seven.
And it was ridiculous.
Literally making 50 stops a game, and they would win 2-1. And it was, and then they went to the conference final that year. So, obviously, in Montreal, he had been built up as kind of a godlike figure.
Absolutely, because he played that well, and they kept Price.
And Price was the younger guy that was still kind of unknown to an extent, but they obviously made the right call. They're like, we're not keeping Halak over Carey Price.
I want to say that, wasn't it the next year Carey's numbers in the preseason were, like, not good?
He might have got booed. That
he told the fans to, like, relax.
Yeah.
I think it was that. It may have been, or maybe
relax,
there's a...
Relax, I got this.
Yeah. Well, he was like, just, else? Why doesn't everyone
that was,
just
that
chill?
That was your boy Rodgers. Relax, I got this.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers done that a couple of times. Like, he spelled out relax on a radio hit in Green Bay or something.
That's kind of cool.
Price did the same thing. He got booed at the Bell Center in a preseason game, and he just said, hey, let's
everyone
chill
out here. It's
everything
preseason.
Will be all right. The trade bait board is up and running on TSN.ca. And there are a couple of Leafs on here, and I think the explanation for it is pretty clear. It's a list of 30 players throughout the league. Colton Parayko is number one. Phil Kessel is number 30. Phil's number 30. Kasperi Kapanen is number 21. He scored again last night. He's on pace for 30. And Andreas Janssen is 22. And I think the reasoning behind those two being included in this, it's not that the Leafs want to trade them, but if they want to acquire something, they're going to have to give up something.
Sorry, who was the other?
It's Janssen and Kapanen.
I have to be honest. Why would they be?
I don't understand.
I think Kapanen's a better player than Janssen.
Oh, he is. But
I don't know why he's
I'll break down why I think this is why they're on the list.
Okay.
It's based on needs. I mean, the Leafs need defense. So they're,
correct.
A lot of people have them circled as a team that want to be active. So if you're going to be active, you're going to have to give up something. They're not trading Matthews, Tavares, Marner, Nylander. The contract status, they're both RFAs after the year. And Bobby Mack was on the lunch today, and he pointed out that Janssen has arb rights. So if he gets this opportunity and keeps playing with Matthews, and let's say he ends up with 45 points or something, they may have to give him $3 million or something.
Right, which would strain them.
Right.
Yeah.
And then it's opportunities, you know, where on the left side, I think Janssen actually has a future here or is a path to a pretty big role. Yeah. Kapanen, I don't think, does unless he's going to flip to the other side because Nylander and Marner are always going to be ahead of him.
They're not going anywhere.
Right. So I think those are the dots that they're connecting. By no means is TSN and Frank Saravelli saying that any of these guys are guaranteed to be traded.
Yeah, no kidding. Right. And by the way, this is well thought out. It's been discussed amongst numerous people. This isn't... throwing you know what against the wall to see if it sticks.
Right. And right. That makes sense. I believe Kapanen's a better player than Johnsen, too. But I think Johnsen has value. I think he's a good player. You know, I do. I think he's an NHL player, a good player. You're not going to get a Parayko or anything like that for him. But
no.
You may look at it if you're Dubas and say, one of those two guys, if we feel like we got to pay him, you know, everyone's focused on Matthews and Marner, but these other guys are up,
too. Somebody underneath that pushes up, you may have to throw somebody overboard, even if it's a Brown or a Hyman, you know.
Well, I think Connor Brown is a guy who we all love, Connor Brown, but I think he may be in trouble in the future in terms of securing a spot here because he's getting paid 2.1. And if you're on the fourth line, you can't make 2.1.
Right.
You just
got to be
the math doesn't add up.
Yeah, it's got to be a million or less.
Yeah. So, you know, something is going to give here. This team that the Leafs have right now with all these pieces up front that people are in love with, which they should be, just simply cannot stay intact. It won't stay intact. So I think if I'm Cervelli and I'm TSN and I'm a trade bait guy, I'm looking at this just saying, be proactive instead of running into it in the summer and saying, uh-oh, we might have to make a move.
Right.
Maybe you make the move before the deadline this year so you can acquire someone who can help you on a potential cup run.
I think
that's
fair.
Seems to make a lot of sense to me.
It does.
You know,
I think it does too.
Yeah,
I'm telling you, I just want Detroit to fall deep and deeper out of it and just kick tires on Nicholas Cronwall.
Cronwall's your guy, eh?
He's one of my guys.
I like him a lot. I just
want him. I don't want him to play a lot. I just want him to go out there and cause problems for 10 minutes a night.
You're right, but I just worry that Pace is...
he's an older guy, for sure.
But it's not even older, too, because I think experienced guys get it, but I also think that... Like, he could be a guy that I feel like is held together with, like, scotch tape and Band-Aids and stuff. Like, he is a guy who's been a warrior for so many years. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if it took that guy an hour to warm up just so that he could put his skates on. Because, like, knees and back.
Do it for one more year.
Well, yeah, do it for a playoff run. Really.
That's it.
But he looks like a guy who...
And furthermore, once I acquire you at the deadline, you don't have to play till the playoffs. Seriously, go to Florida. Do whatever.
Go sit in a hyperbaric chamber until we call your name.
Yeah. Sports science team will work with it.
I just want somebody like that. Just somebody like that.
That's someone with some jam is what you're saying.
Yeah, anything.
Got a reputation for doing it. Well, I would like to get somebody that might actually be here for more than just a cup run, especially if you're giving...
What about an Alec Martinez?
Well, they're in a window, not a one-year window. They're in a five-year window.
He's got 2 or 3 years
left. 2 years left, but that's what I'm saying.
It's Alec, like what
and
the
he's 27, I think.
Lightning did with McDonough last year.
Right.
You know, they acquired him knowing that he's got that year and another year on top. Right?
Like, well, and to me, I think McDonough, they paid a king's ransom for him, and they...
But JT Miller was included, too.
Exactly.
Like, and he's a good player.
He's a good player,
man. He's a really good player.
He scored last night, didn't he?
I don't think he potted one last night, no. But he's a really good player. Like, he would, if the, you know, the States were in the Olympics or players were in the Olympics, he'd probably be on that American team and be close.
Yeah.
You know who stood out for Tampa for me, I should have mentioned earlier, was Yanni Gourde. He's a good player.
He's a really good player.
Very good player.
Yeah, really good player.
Now, 26.
I don't know if he's $5 million worth, but he's a good player.
Well, but $5 million is
64
scary,
points.
Scary to say that that's kind of the going rate now. Like,
well, it is when you get 60-plus points.
And based on his age, he's going to be a UFA. He's a UFA coming up.
Yeah.
I believe.
Like, that's why, I mean, you take a look at some value contracts.
I think it's a great contract.
Two contracts that stand out for me that are good value, Max Domi and Elias Lindholm. Remember, Calgary rushed to sign him at, what, 4.9? Was it 4.8
or
4.9?
Yeah, it was around 5 for sure.
It was just under 5.
Yeah.
And this is a guy who had a career high of 17 goals, but they saw a fit there. I think they gave him 6 years. Like, I think they gave him a pretty good term.
Well, the Habs did that with Drouin as well.
Right.
And the first year obviously didn't look great last year. This year he's having a career year.
But you're hoping that's what these guys grow into. You're hoping that you get value for that player instead of, you know... Maybe this was a scenario, and you can always look back in hindsight, and I'm not throwing a dart, but like, could he have maybe gotten Nylander on one of those deals a year ago?
Well,
that's in hindsight, and you can't even, but
I think Nylander
could have six gotten it done a year ago.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't think that would have been crazy to suggest, but I think he felt better about who he was and what he had done.
Right.
Than what Elias Lindholm would
I still
say.
Maintain this. I don't see much separation between Domi and Nylander. As players.
Well, this year there isn't much.
No, but I'm just saying, like, Domi's got jam.
Yes, he does.
Like,
he's
a
gamer,
one thing,
for
and
sure.
He's a gamer.
Yeah, he is.
He was, and he didn't play. I mean, he had back-to-back 9-goal seasons, but and 40 points or 45 points. But like, you have to look into the future. Like, you have to get a value contract if you're going to have to give Marner and Matthews and, you know, who else is going to get paid.
That's where you kind of, I mean, it's a scenario where it doesn't pay off for you immediately because the player still has to grow,
and
but it will once he does.
But
Mark
if he
Scheifele's
doesn't,
the best example.
You're right. But if he doesn't, then you're like, well, why the hell did you give that guy?
Of course.
That's the conversation we've had I don't know how many times.
But that's the thing, right? Like, this was such lightning in a bottle where Matthews, Marner, Nylander all came up together.
Exactly.
And they just hit the ground running. They all had 60-plus points as rookies.
Yeah.
As 19-year-olds. You know, like, a lot of players, a majority of players, it's like, okay, you have your ups and downs, and
yeah,
you go from 30 to 40 and then 60, and then all of a sudden, wow, you're a 70-point guy when you're 25,
right.
But you've already signed a 6-year deal at 4.5.
Right.
And, you know, that's...
You're earning, you grow into that deal.
Exactly. And,
yeah,
you know, the Leafs weren't in that situation because the young guys played so well so early. Future headlines. You guys ready for some future headlines?
We've
got a lot of people calling in wanting to bring back
level
of concern. If you can think of a few, we can sprinkle them in this hour. Future Headlines is brought to you by 1in100.net. For a 1in100 chance at winning killer seats to any Toronto game, go to 1in100.net, and your first entry is free. Kawhi Leonard, the Raptors are in Portland tonight, and they wrap up this 4-game roadie, I believe, Sunday night in Denver. Future Headlines, Kawhi plays over the weekend and actually performs and continues at an MVP race, or Kawhi takes the whole trip off because he's still questionable to even play tonight.
If I'm the Raptors and I'm looking after that situation, he is just taking the whole trip off. All they care about is the playoffs now. That's all it's about. I mean, there could be selfish reasons as far as the player's concerned. MVP, he's in that conversation. Does he want to, you know, I think you guys both talked about you can't win an MVP missing a certain percentage of the season.
Yeah.
So
does
they got to weigh every... Huh?
Does he care? That's the question. Does Kawhi Leonard care about winning an MVP?
Nobody knows anything about this guy.
0%.
But if I'm looking after that, he's not playing at all.
How strange is that?
I feel like
there's
he wouldn't care.
There's a guy who would not care if he won or didn't win.
An MVP?
An MVP. Like, if you went to any other athlete on earth and said, hey, if you keep rolling like this, you have a chance of being the MVP.
Which there's a side of me that's almost somewhat concerned about that. You know what I mean?
You know what he would say to you,
what
though?
Do you actually care about?
Right. I hope just team success.
I feel like Kawhi...
Yeah, but it's like, if you don't care about the MVP, you don't have a soul. You know what I mean? Like,
I feel like he would just say, if you said, like, you want to talk about you being up for the MVP, be like, not today. Or whatever he said to the...
Well, that's true. He's not going to speak about it publicly, for sure. He's not going to give you an answer publicly that he really cares.
Not right now.
But you would think that would be a layup.
Right now.
Like, how obvious and easy would it be to be like, yes, I would love... That would be a great honor. Moving on. Like, don't ask me again. I gave you my answer. But he'd probably say this.
Not right now.
All right.
I guarantee you he would.
We're going to play Level of Concern later.
Okay, we will. I think
After
Kawhi's
Darren.
Playing this weekend. He may not play tonight. I think he's going to play in Denver. They're looking for retribution in Denver. That team's a good team. And Jamal Murray and Jokic, who's built like a milk bag but just continues to roll. Leafs in Florida tomorrow night. Big response coming off the Tampa loss. Or the Panthers find a way to sneak one out.
Who's in net for Florida? Bobby Lou?
I'm assuming it's Luongo. Anderson
here's
in
why,
front of a packed crowd in South Florida.
Here's why I think it's going to be a closer game than people think, because Florida got rinsed the other night, too. And they know they're playing a good team. Like, you get ready. Like, you're embarrassed.
Boogie will have those guys ready.
Yeah. Like, you're not going to roll in, and just because Florida's got 28 points, you're like, oh, they're not just going to hand 2 points over. Like, the Leafs may win because they're a better team, but... Florida's not going to roll over. And you know what, Bobby Lou, if he plays and
he's owned the Leafs throughout his career.
He can get a heater going. Like, he's a good goaltender.
Yeah. No, they've lost 4 in a row, Florida. Like,
yeah.
They're know a bunch
shape.
Of guys. You guys know a bunch of guys down there. I think their season's pretty much over, if we're being realistic. But
yeah,
the second half last year, they were unbelievable. They missed out by, like, 2 points. They almost made the playoffs.
They had a run.
They just had too slow of a start, like this year.
Yep.
Steelers, Pats, Brady goes legend on the road in Pittsburgh and picks up a big win, or Ben Roethlisberger returns to full health and gets the Steelers off a three-game losing streak?
I think, if memory serves me correct, I think the Pats own them.
It's
the last three or four seasons. I mean, I don't know, but...
There was that big game late in the season a couple of years ago.
They just seem to always... The Steelers have always been a quality team. They go to play New England, they lose. They lose against New England. I'm not betting against New England.
Brady.
Yeah. Brady and Belichick.
As much as I like Big Ben, Big Ben's a machine too, but it's Brady. Belichick looked a little choked the other day.
That's what would terrify me if I was Mike Tomlin, is that Belichick just got embarrassed
in
for the first time in a long time. This guy has been stewing for a week. That he let the Dolphins catch up and win that game.
I know.
Stewing.
Yeah.
Like, Belichick on a winning streak, happy, is a bad sign. Losing a game in that fashion.
In the way they lost.
And he's been ridiculed for it and called out. That would be terrifying.
Plus, it's like the whole week. It's been the storyline the whole week. Yeah.
What were you thinking putting Gronk on the field? How could you let Gronkowski embarrass himself like that?
Yeah.
Belichick stewing, I'd be terrified. I think I'm on the Pats, too. Darren Dreger, Hockey Insider, will be in studio. Maybe some level of concern with him. Someone pointing this out, Mitch Marner hasn't scored a goal in 13 games or something.
Yeah, they were talking about that on the broadcast last night.
Joe from the Bridge doesn't care, though. He's basically Wayne Gretzky.
Joe from the Bridge may join us in studio.
No, Monday.
Monday at 4 p.m. Just to prove that he's an actual human being. So Dregs will be in studio. We'll get his take on the trade bait board. Some big games in the NHL tonight and over the course of the weekend. Level of concern.
Before we go to break, I do have one confession to make.
What happened?
I had to go down to Studio 6 to do a hit with Duthie. I got it done in reasonable fashion.
And then you went, Nate.
I went to go get gas and bought some Lotto Max tickets and then came back.
Why? Why couldn't you do that at 7 o'clock?
Because I got to go get my kids, go to Collingwood again tonight. It's done.
Okay.
The Lotto Max tickets for tonight?
And got gas.
Okay. Well, yeah, because you left at 5:45 and you rolled in like 6:14.
I'm not even convinced you did a hit.
Yeah.
What'd you do the hit on?
I just left.
You can ask Darren. He'll be in studio next.
All right, Darren Dreger, our TSN Hockey Insider, is in studio. What's up, Dregs?
Enjoying a peppermint tea. Everything's good.
Peppermint tea, courtesy of what, the cafeteria here?
Is that for your throat?
Yeah. I don't know. I bring spares. Tim Hortons, peppermint tea.
Attaboy. There you go.
It's impressive.
Do your thing. I'm becoming a coffee snob. I never drank coffee my whole life up until the past couple of years. And now if I have bad coffee...
You're mad?
I'm dying to tell somebody. No one, everyone loves complaining about bad coffee.
I've never had a coffee in my life.
Well, how do you know if you like it or not?
I know what it tastes like, coffee flavor, like coffee flavored ice cream and all that.
You're telling me you never had a sip of coffee?
No, I never.
Not one sip.
What do you mean? I don't grab your coffee and go, can I have a sip? No.
That is actually a shocking revelation.
I've never had
a
coffee in my life.
Tea?
I know what it is. No, I don't like tea either. No, if I need caffeine, I'll drink a diet Pepsi or diet something.
I need the hot liquid.
But yeah, me too, man.
I don't like coffee.
You drink Jolt?
No, Jolt soda or whatever.
You remember that back in the day? Eddie O used to drink it.
That'll give you
Jolt
a heart attack, won't it?
Oh, it was like Red Bull before Red Bull came around.
Yeah, Jolt.
Jolt.
But isn't it 400 calories in a can?
It's awful.
It was literally
twice the legal limit of caffeine.
Yeah. It really was.
I will say this. I played in the late 90s in St. Louis with a player who used to just consume this Ultimate Orange. I think it's illegal now.
I used to use that. I used to make a shake with Ultimate Orange.
It is.
Well, what was in it?
It'll make your heart explode. They GNC stopped carrying it because they didn't
do anything.
Epinephrine and all that kind of stuff.
It was Ephedra, all of that, but mix. It was a cocktail.
Well, that's when you've had two Red Bull and vodkas or something that. The next day you wake up,
a Red Bull and vodka hangover is the worst thing you feel.
Yeah, I know.
All you need to do is go to a sports bar and have four beers and then go to bed for the rest of the day.
Yeah,
you can't do anything.
It's honestly the worst.
Heart gets
too much Red Bull.
Too. You're not. It's not good.
No, it's horrible for you. It's incredibly unhealthy.
Anyway,
all right. Moving on here. Are you affiliated with the? I'm sure you are. The trade bait board that's up on TSN.ca.
No, I have nothing to do with it.
You have nothing to do with it.
No, I Frank Cook. He does his circuit on a weekly basis, right? I don't know where he starts. Whether it's with me or Pierre or Bob, but inevitably he gets to us individually and, you know, what are you hearing? What do you think? Where should this guy be? That sort of thing. So one thing I will say is he invests a ton of time in assembling this. And, you know, when it was first introduced, there was shock and awe. You know, people would see their names on this list.
Get rattled.
Managers would call and go, what's he doing on that? Like, get him off that list.
Yeah.
Now it's, I think everybody's just used to the environment and the different scenarios, and we live with it.
It would be like the hot seat list.
I hated that hot seat list, man. You know,
every coach is like,
You go into preseason or, you know, the preview show going into the regular season, they haven't coached a game, and you've got 10 guys on a hot
this
seat.
This guy's on the hot list.
Scorching. If he loses a period, he's fired. This
and
guy's
it is.
In trouble.
The hardest part is you put together that list, and then you go into the rinks, and you see these people, and you're just like, oh. Yeah.
Well, as for the trade bait board, Colton Parayko is sitting atop of it. I mean, St. Louis seems to be ground zero for trade buzz, right? And that's, I guess, the history and reputation of their GM and the fact that they've been so disappointing. But, you know, Parayko is a guy every team in the league would call.
He's 25.
But why would St. Louis deal him? Or what would it take for St. Louis to deal a guy like that?
And that's why it's prohibitive, right?
Yeah.
You know, I think if you're Armstrong, you have to allow names like that to drift out there because you're in complete disarray, right? You fired your coach. You've made bold off-season transactions. It didn't work. So what are you left with? You're not going to trade your younger guys, most of your younger players. And I would put Parayko in that category, but sometimes that bait is all you need to get a dialogue going, right? So the teams are calling and they'll say, hey, what about Pietrangelo? What about Parayko? Well, I'm not interested in trading them yet, but do you have any interest in this guy?
Right.
And you get a dialogue going that way. I mean, for me, I love Pietrangelo. I do. You know, if we're talking about the Toronto Maple Leafs, if you're talking about the Edmonton Oilers, who, you know, there's a team that needs defense too, injury or otherwise. You know, you do have to pay attention to the cap hit here. And Pietrangelo with another year at 6'5", that's not going down. You've got cost certainty in Colton Parayko at 5'5", for 3 years.
But what the hell would St. Louis be honestly thinking if they're trying to start this thing over? To get rid of him.
Yeah.
Well, on certain teams, you just mentioned Edmonton. Like, Edmonton doesn't have... They're trying to put Puljujärvi, they're trying to force feed him in the lineup right now. Hitch is working with him. Like, at what point, like, they? I don't think they have anything, and RNH wouldn't be in play.
No, he's
their
not
third
in
best
play.
Player. So, like, is it
Hitchcock loves him?
Yeah,
you know,
McClellan
and
because he's a really good two way player.
Smart,
like, I think
smart
exactly. But like, it would have to be almost like draft picks and maybe somebody in the farm. But I don't. I see a fit in Parayko on 15 teams easily because he's that good. But what are you going to ask
for? I don't get it from the Blues perspective.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
I don't because you're not going through a full-scale renovation / rebuild here. You can't. I mean, you brought in Ryan O'Reilly. You signed Tyler Bozak as an unrestricted free agent. I mean, you knew what you were getting when you signed those players. You know, you got to get a goaltender back if you're moving Colton Parayko out, I would assume, you know, and maybe you live with your defense and a younger defenseman is part of it as well. So it seems like a lot of work to get done for sure.
Darren Dreger, Hockey Insider in studio. There's some Leaf content on the trade bait board. Kasperi Kapanen at 21, Andreas Janssen at 22.
Yeah.
And I think it's safe to say, obviously, you know, Matthews, Tavares, Marner, Nylander, they're not going anywhere. You're not going to trade defensemen at this point because that's probably what you're trying to acquire.
Yeah.
You know, we detailed this in the previous hour. I think it comes down to the fact that they're both RFAs at the end of the year and opportunity.
Yeah.
Right? Like, where are they going to play in the lineup? And maybe you get proactive and you float those guys out. If you're looking to acquire a quality defenseman, it's going to cost you something.
Right. And there are enough teams that are looking for offense that are going to be interested in those two names. You know, we've aligned the Carolina Hurricanes and the Toronto Maple Leafs pretty much from day one specific to Nylander, because Carolina had interest in William Nylander, and they've got an abundance of defense. And Toronto needs to add another piece. So they'd like to add, you know, top four defenseman, preferably a top pairing guy. You know, are you getting that piece from the Carolina Hurricanes? I mean, Brett Pesce isn't ready to be a top pairing guy yet. So what does that deal look like? You know, because they got muscled by the Boston Bruins last Saturday, you know, there was, you know, speculation of needing a power forward. You know, is it Simmons? Is it Michael Furland? I mean, there's speculation and reason for speculation. I think Carolina would love to get their hands on Kasperi Kapanen.
Greg's quickly, like, you just mentioned Carolina. Does their owner know what, I really am thankful they gave me their little video tribute. But what the hell is the owner of that team saying?
I mean, yeah, it hurts.
But that's what I was going to ask. Like, if you're a GM,
yeah,
aren't you trying to get the owner on the phone? Like, he just went on the record.
You know what? You're right.
And said, I want offense. We're not drafting defensemen in the first round. You know, like, you look, Brett Pesce is the name that keeps coming up. They're not going to trade Hamilton. They just got him.
You're not. Slavin's any chance you want to trade Slavin,
but that's
who's
what I'm
a
saying.
Defenseman in capital letters?
Hey, Tom, Slavin, you know, I know he doesn't put up a lot of points. He's a kind of good two-way defenseman. Why don't we talk?
100%. That's the route that I'd be taking, for sure.
You get his number.
Absolutely.
I mean, he's made it abundantly clear that he doesn't have a deep appreciation for what a defenseman can bring and why you need him to contend for a Stanley Cup. I mean, the comment that as long as he's there, they're not drafting a defenseman in the first round.
Asinine. It's completely asinine. I mean, he can be a billionaire.
We've got a guy in the minors who could score 100 goals.
Yeah.
Like Dr. Evil. 100. And like, who knows?
It's just a goofy comment.
Well, look at what he did in Montreal last night. I don't know if you guys heard that. The white jerseys.
Sorry, we want to wear whites.
Yeah.
Like, or we want to wear reds.
I don't like the whites. Can you guys wear white because we want to wear reds? At some point, the league's going to step in and be like, okay, quit being a donkey.
They did it all in California, too. They wore the reds all California.
But that's why I said at some point, the league is going to step in because some team's going to go, no.
Yeah,
Can you imagine, like, if they're playing the Leafs on a Saturday or something, like, you call up Shanny or call up Kyle and be like, sorry, can you switch your jerseys?
Like, I would disregard the call. This. Like, just, no.
It doesn't make sense.
I remember a time years ago, you guys will remember the name from, BlackBerry. Jim Balsillie.
Yes.
Yeah, Jim Balsillie, yeah.
And the National Hockey League wanted no part of him because, not because he didn't have the money. At the time, he had the money. I don't know what he's got now, but he had the money.
He did, yeah. BlackBerry was big.
And, you know, he kicked tires on Pittsburgh, and then he flipped over and showed interest in Nashville. And really, it was the commissioner's office and the board that was terrified of him and what he might do, the type of owner that he would be. Would he fit into the old boys' club?
Well, guy doesn't obviously fit into the old boys' club.
Yeah, well, it seems pretty clear. I'll tell you, Sea Island, Georgia, there was one owner there wearing Lululemons and a hoodie and a hat and sunglasses in the meeting, and that was Tom Dundon.
Yeah.
And everyone else is in a suit.
Pretty much.
I kind of have an appreciation for that.
I don't mind.
Because he's like, I listen, guys, I don't care, man. I paid. I got just as much money as you.
Exactly.
I don't care what he wears.
I have no problem with that.
I know that, but hold on a second. You know, you pay $20,000 if you're so inclined to join a golf club, right? You're paying respect to the history of the club and the people that have been there for 50 years. Oh, so Tom and
buy
Betty
a Range
Ferguson,
Rover, you don't gear down naked and drive it around naked.
I understand what you're saying. It's more about the optics and showing respect.
Sure,
that's I get that, about. But I think, with the new age billionaire and the new age people who are worth hundreds of millions of dollars, like they almost feel like that's their thing, is to be different.
Well,
is to, you know, be that outlier, be that unique person.
For sure.
But he's not doing, I don't think personally he's doing a very good job. You can be a good owner and very respectful to people and that, but like, first and foremost, being on record that I'm not going to pay a lot of money to staff and you know, try and cut costs here and there. Like,
Jamie, there's lots of talk that he walked into a negotiation with Lindholm and his agent and said, sign this or we're trading you. So,
yeah.
But like he was heavily involved in that
process.
But
that doesn't go well. Like,
so there you go. And now he wants a goal scorer.
But it weakens your organization when you act erratically like that. To me, you put people in place that you trust. Yeah. You can have input, but there's a reason why.
So here's what you do if
hockey
you're the Leafs.
Hockey does hockey.
Right? If you're the Leafs, Kyle Dubas goes to Brendan Shanahan and says, hey, we got to work as a unit here. We got to work as a tandem or a team.
Yeah.
Look, how comfortable you were in the meetings at Sea Island with Dundon.
Yeah.
I got no problem. You're not stepping on my toes as a general manager. If you want to make that call to Tom Dundon and get the wheels greased.
Yeah, he's talking, the first guy I call.
Back channel.
Make the call.
Yeah.
You know, I'll do the dirty work when, you know, if you're making progress and Donnie and I will connect and away we'll go, but I need you to do some work on this.
Are you going home tonight, Darren, and cracking your nuts?
What?
Explain
the nutcracker tomorrow.
The nutcracker. Dregs is
out of nutcracker. Yeah. Cannon dolls. You know what?
You even know what the hell you don't even know.
Yeah, we just watched a video in the green room of what we're supposed to do based on past performances of others.
He's like dancing around and stuff.
Yeah, we're jumping around. Like
I was in a play in like grade six, and I was embarrassed because I was no good.
Well,
I played this character named Globa. I don't even know what the hell that is.
I mean, this is the National Ballet of Canada.
I know,
it's
exactly.
It's not Sherwood Park grade eight here.
It's St. Albert, but I'm telling you right now,
so what are
I still wouldn't place
Sarah?
Myself in that situation.
You have to put the gear
full
on?
Full costume. No tights, I don't believe. Full costume, Duthie and I. And the way I understand it, I don't understand the plot, but we're standing on either side of a cannon. There is a cannon master, I think that's what they're called, and we have to decide whether I'm going to be the guy that wants him to shoot the cannon, and Duthie's going to be the softy who doesn't want him to shoot the cannon. So we have to bounce around and pretend like theatrically, you know, play our role.
I feel like this is Duthie Stanley Cup. Like, he is all over this.
He'll do something.
He's a bit nervous.
Stupid.
He's a bit nervous.
What, does he have a bigger role than you do?
No. We're just two stooges on the stage. I mean, we have identical roles. It's just, we literally show up at the Four Seasons at 6:30, right?
Yeah.
I think the show is at 7.
So at the like Four Seasons?
Yeah, well, Four Seasons. Is there Four Seasons Theater?
It's on University, right?
So, yeah. I mean, there's a brief rehearsal. Like, we know nothing about this. That's what terrifies me. And the sequence I just watched goes on for, like, 3 minutes. Like, I can't jump around on stage. Like, I can act like an idiot with the best of them.
What if you get winded?
Well, that's my concern.
There's video of this, right? There will be video.
No, I'm sure.
I'm sure.
TSN better have
it. It will never, like, you'll never live it down. Like, that'll be...
I can't wait for it.
That'll be on YouTube, because somebody's going to have a camera.
Oh, yeah. Like, TSN is sending a camera.
Oh, Gino's 100%. We're going to break it down with a Libero.
You should.
Hey, like, we'll have trust me.
Sports
everyone
center.
In this studio has done worse.
I 100%
publicly
agree.
Or otherwise, 100%.
Like, I'm not
sat
throwing...
on Santa's lap today.
at the request of Santa, too, though.
Literally
which was
today.
Creepy.
Yes.
I mean, the Dumb and Dumber tuxedos.
Yeah,
the preparation
listen,
for
we've
Vegas.
Done
I mean,
it all.
You've done a lot.
We live in glass houses. We don't throw stones.
Believe me. Welcome to the club.
Yeah.
All right, Dregs.
Those tuxedos were just, mine was so tight.
Your bucket was so, he's got a size 8 head. And your bucket, like, was so huge in that picture.
We're not wearing those, by the way, in Vegas.
In Vegas.
Oh, I think you have to.
No, we're not. I am not wearing that again.
Imagine walking down the strip in those.
Well, people will be like,
we'll get kicked
out of Vegas. You've seen the nonsense that goes on in Vegas, but the helmet that he was wearing was something else.
Ridiculous.
Size 8 3/8.
Concussed.
All right, Dregs. Good luck tomorrow.
Hey, boys, have a good weekend.
There's Darren Dreger, a TSN Hockey Insider. We'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Look ahead to a busy weekend, NFL, NHL, NBA. Overdrive continues on TSN 2. All right, time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Josh Allen's going to run for about 150 yards on Matt Patricia and the Lions this weekend. I'm betting the Buffalo Bills. I finally overcome the pain that they caused us week 3 when they beat Minnesota. But I'm on the Bills at home.
I wonder how many people are left in that pool we were in. Probably over, isn't it?
It wouldn't surprise me if it was over. I told you about my buddy. I saw him last week. I hadn't seen him in a while, and he and another buddy of mine were in a survivor pool, and they were down to whatever it was, week 14 last week, and they had the Steelers still alive. They took the Steelers in Oakland, and they lost.
Ooh!
And it was one of these pools with like the pot was like 250 grand. There were like there was like five or six guys left in the pool, and they thought they were home free because other guys were betting like Detroit. They were down to nothing. These guys are like, oh, Pittsburgh, they lost two in a row in Oakland. It's a lock.
Yeah, that's
there was a key, and John Gruden found it somehow.
We're gonna come back strong next year, buddy.
Oh, I can't wait.
Nah, I don't think so.
I'm looking forward to it.
I don't think you guys should work together. Because happened is you would suggest something, he would say no,
well,
we're going with it.
He's a jerk, because every time you win, he's like, see, I told you that.
No, that's not true. No. Week one, I had the Saints. I wanted to go with the Saints, and Tampa beat them, and you decided to take the, was it the Rams? I can't remember.
It didn't go well. And then you got rinsed on, who was it? The Bills.
The Bills.
The Bills rinsed you guys.
I was literally in tears watching them. They're in Minnesota. Soda, and it's 24 Cobb at half.
Yeah.
I'm thinking this is an actual joke on my part.
That's karma. Like we've chirped Buffalo, and
that's you. Every time you mention the word Buffalo, you got a smile on your face.
I'm gleeful. Their misery has given me so much joy over the years.
It was Jay Peterman that.
Yeah.
It was even
no,
Peterman.
It was, Allen.
Was the other.
It was Allen. But Peterman was still on the roster.
If it was Peterman, oh my God. Goodness.
Yeah. I'd never gamble again.
Yeah.
For a week. Buffalo, Baltimore, Dallas, and Indy. Those are my picks. Throw down 20. You can score 100. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game.
Been a pretty good show today. We had Ugly Face out of the gate.
Yeah, Caber was great. Brian McCabe's always a blast. Find that podcast and online at tsn1050.ca or subscribe and check us out on iTunes as well.
Yes. We've got the Leafs in Florida tomorrow night. We've got football all weekend, and we are going to just break it down on Monday
at 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.